I have a quorum. Go ahead and start the recording, and I'll call this meeting of the Tuesday, July 28th, meeting of the Connecticut Port Authority Board of Directors to order. First order of business, item number two is approval of minutes of the Board of Directors' regular meetings on April 28th, 2026, and a special meeting on May 13th, 2026, and May 28th, 2026, and June 18th. 2026.
So move.
Have Brandt. And second was probably John Johnson. I guess I forgot to do a roll call, but I think, let's see, Doug, I think that's Doug Delaney's cell phone in there.
That's me. Thank you.
Yep. Well, Hinch.
Well, I don't see.
Okay. Anybody from Mayor Passero's office? About Christine? I know Tom Patton's not going to be here. So I think the only four people we're missing are Paul Hinch, Felix or Mayor Passero, Christine Zanellis, and Tom Patton.
And well, you do. We do have a vacancy, Commissioner of Department of Energy and Environmental Protection designee has not been named yet, but Jeff Caiola is joining on meeting today.
Thanks, Jeff.
You can see him there somewhere. There's Jeff.
Afternoon.
All right, we'll move on to item number three, which is public comment. Jill, you want to go through public comment for those that are online? I don't see anybody from the public here, so.
Did we have a, I got the motion in second. Did we
have it was John. Oh, thank you for the vote.
Okay.
All those in favor of approving the minutes in item number two, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Tom Gill, I'm abstaining from the voting on these minutes.
Okay.
Abstain from the 20th.
All right, move forward. Now we'll go to public comment. Go ahead, Jill.
Okay. If anybody is joining on Zoom that would like to make public comment, you can raise your hand on Zoom or take yourself off of mute. If you're calling in on the phone, you can press star six to unmute yourself or star nine to raise your hand.
Okay. Hearing no public comment, we'll go to item number four, which is finance committee updates. I know Tom's not here. Was there?
Yeah, Tom Ballin told me, this is Doug, that I would be
hey, Doug.
Sharing our update. So you see the items on the agenda. We reviewed the OFA report. And so we're recommending that the full board approve. I don't know if you want to have staff go over that before we move to the two grant programs or how you want to handle that.
We'll certainly take questions. I mean, yeah. I could just read you the data that's on the page, but any questions for this interim report? This is the unaudited version as we complete the audit that's going to be in progress now. These numbers may change slightly for the year end. Questions?
I hear a motion from David to approve. Do I have a second? Second from Grant. Any further questions on the quarterly? All those in favor say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Pump it down on the screen if you like. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none. Motion passes. On to Bravo, for Bravo.
Right. So, oh, go ahead if you want to.
No, I can. Go ahead. So, there are two programs that the team here at Port Authority is putting forth. One is the Maritime Education Networking and Training Opportunity for Residents. And we'll go through that one first. Mike, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I'll we're looking for a process to support people with educational expenses. This mainly focuses on pre-K through grade 12 students to be able to support requests that come in. This will be publicly available information, an ongoing application cycle that we would review every 60 days, and staff here would review the applications that come in, the benefits to the community that we would be funding, and the amounts referenced, and then recommending those for the executive director, that's me, to make final approval on. This would be under the budget that was set, and we would either sponsor these programs until we exceeded the budget, ran up against the budgeted line item, or if we felt that the program was gaining enough traction and warranted more funds, come back to the board and tell the board what we would like to do for financing of this line item. That financing discussion extends to the community grant program as well.
Any questions? If not, do I hear a motion to adopt the Connecticut Port Authority Mentor Future Sponsorship Program policy and procedures?
So moved.
So moved from Kristen, seconded by.
Second.
Okay. Well, we'll take Sally just because she's best up. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion carries. The next one is the community grant program. Mike?
Very similar to the first program. It's a little different focus on it for tourism infrastructure, community activation, and planning and capacity building for maritime activities in the state. Similar budget category, similar budget perspective as we see what's going on in this area and the relevance, we would adjust accordingly. This one, I would ask that you approve these subject to, we put both of these programs on the legal board for review. The 30-day review period is still out for the community grant program. So I would ask that you approve these subject to no major comments or concerns from the community, from the legal review.
Hear a motion. A motion by Grant.
Second.
We'll take Gaffney on that one. Any further discussion on the grant program?
I just would like to say that I think both these programs are wonderful initiatives that we've come up with, the staff has come up with, and I want to congratulate the entire here on the initiatives.
Great. Thanks, Gaffney. You can see from the fiscal report, $6.5 million in the bank, and a need to support the maritime economy. This is a first and second step of many that we'll be able to put in place to use those funds to support Connecticut's maritime.
Thank you for the support.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, motion passes. Okay, on to item number five, HR committee upgrade. John.
We had a very brief meeting. We met and we reporting to the state that we have a total of 5.5 employees with 3 interns. And no positions are vacated and no positions are filled. And pretty dry report, good report. And I think we will all agree that the CPA is doing a lot with very few staff. So we should all be very proud of it. So that's my report. And I think we should have a motion to approve that report or the quarterly personnel status report.
I hear a motion.
So moved.
Moved by Gaffney.
Second.
Jim is a second. Any further discussion? I would add that one of the things that Mike's going to talk about is the PIDP grant for the Groton Marine Terminal and also for Pier 7 in New London. If it did come to fruition that we got an MOU signed with DEEP to go forward, that per the personnel things that we've discussed in the past, there may be a need to hire a program manager for those, or isn't that correct?
That correct? And that almost concludes my staffing
All right. Good. So all those in favor say aye.
update.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion 5 alpha is done.
So, Paul, can I ask a question when that MOU was signed by Deep with us?
Well, I think Mike's probably going to talk about that in his update. But
Oh, okay. All right. That's fine.
okay, item number 6, grant updates. Mike.
So, Paul Weitzcarver was hinting at it. Should we enter into an MOU to actively do renovations and upgrades to Pier 7 at Fort Trumbull? We would certainly hire a project management lead to one, determine what the funding source will be, and two, to get us through the process of hiring the firms that would do that work and overseeing the work and making sure that the dollars were spent in accordance with the plan and that the budget is maintained and the schedule is adhered to. But that would be the only staffing change. The update that that person would also coincidentally help out with management of funds for the PIDP grant, like Paul said earlier. We do have three interns with us. You probably can't see them on TV because they're sitting off to the side, but Luke Templeton from Massachusetts Maritime Academy. Oh,
Nice
he's walking on
to
screen
meet
now. Thank you. Caleb, who started his college
you,
career at Connecticut College and will be transferring to Brown University.
Wow.
And Connor, who is in a master's program at Fairfield University, all be working with us this summer. That's it for staffing update.
Okay, we're on to item number 6.
Grant updates. So Small Harbor Improvement Program grant process is going well. We continue to make reimbursements for grants that have been awarded. You can see from some newspaper announcements, we're highlighting the SHIP 5 grants that were awarded earlier this year. And we've announced that on September 1st, we'll initiate SHIP Grant 6 using funds that are still available from the Bond Commission that weren't fully distributed earlier this year. And then we'll be working with the legislature on what happens next. I did get an inquiry from some representatives about grant funding under this program for private entities and dredging. And I'll have to review that and see what their questions are and engage them on that. But that just came in this morning. Questions on Small Harbor Improvement Program? Yeah, the EPA Clean Ports Program continues. The New London State Pier Shore Power Project is continuing. As expected, we have construction being done on the cable positioning management system. And then we have long lead electrical parts that were ordered through ABB. Both of those are on track and on budget. We expect later this year to see the final construction of the cable management system being done. It'll be done on the West Coast. It'll be done in the continental United States. That's part of the Buy America, Build America waiver requirements that came along with having to source those parts from outside the US. The next phase of this project will be involved with sourcing the construction personnel and engineering firm Moffett Nichol is still working on what the construction details look like. And then we'll have to figure out when the parts will be available and when the pier will be available to do the work and timely appropriate, probably late this year, on sourcing a construction specialist to do that.
Quick question.
Yes.
Chip asked it months ago.
Sure.
How universal
will this assembly be? I mean, do we is there are there a lot of other ships utilizing something like this elsewhere? So it's not like just one ship out there is going to be able to use it.
I think it falls into the full range of options. If you've seen one port, you've seen one port. So there are vessels that won't be able to use it at all because they're not so equipped with connections that will meet up or the voltage requirements that are needed. There are ships that will need adapters, and there'll be high voltage and low voltage options so that many different ships can make use of it. But the standard that's being applied for the outlets and the connections that we're using are all international maritime organization standards. So if somebody already has what they need or has an adapter for what they need, they'll be able to plug in. The high voltage is 11,000 volts, which is enough to
Street
support
voltage.
the street voltage. It's enough to support a shipboard crane, so the engine room can be idled while ports ships in unloading.
How much for 30 and 50 AM? Yeah. Thank you.
And as mentioned earlier, PIDP grant for Graffin Marine Terminal that was submitted on June 1st. And I don't have a decision date yet, but we'll follow through with that. As you know, we made several enhancements to the previous grant based on feedback from the Maritime Administration. And it'd be great to see that facility get upgraded and support the area.
Any questions on item number six before we move to item number seven? All right. Over to you again, Mike.
I expect next meeting, which is in October, you'll see under grant programs some updates on what we're seeing for requests on our two grant programs that we approved today. And every meeting, you should hear continual updates about what we were able to see for requests and what we were able to approve. I think a lot has gone on in the last 3 months. April 28th was our last meeting. You approved the minutes for the May 13th, May 28th, and June 18th special meetings. Those were all done to support different things. The May 13th meeting supported some shore power work that we had to go through for selecting ABB. May 28th was to support the PIDP grant, and June 18th was to support the lawsuit by a previous executive director. Which is now closed out and finalized. That was resolved for the insurance company resolved that for $77,500. We paid $10,000 worth of legal costs in accordance with our retainer on that. We did have the June 16th annual public hearing. We did that earlier than 12 months out from the last one. The last one was in December. We held it at the Westport Library. We had good attendance, and it was shown on CTN. And if you didn't see it and you want to, you can go on CTN and review that. We did hear some feedback on our grant process, specifically how the reimbursements, and we got some feedback on Harbor Management Commission interactions from one member of the public. So it was a good meeting, and we will do the next annual public hearing in June as well and select a spot to do that. Our next meeting is on October 27th. Before October 27th gets here, there is a potential to consider a reasonable settlement with Blakesley Iparo Chapman. They've had a lawsuit with the Port Authority regarding work that was done on the State Pier project dating back to 2022 now. The current status is we've had several discussions. I would expect at some point they would come upon an agreed upon solution to this. But the lawsuit part is proceeding on. Court has court schedule was issued on July 27th. Oh, I'm sorry, July 21st. Dispositive motions are due by June 18th, 2027. Dispositive motion is, hey, we settled and we want to stop this. So if we haven't stopped it by June 18th, 2027, then they'll begin reviewing trial evidence on February 29th, 2028. So guess the court has its calendar and it's a lengthy process, but I would expect that at some point before February of 2028, we'd be able to reach a solution with a Connecticut business contractor that does marine work. Just some engagement that we've had over the last 3 months. I got a chance to visit the Boston Auto Port. They're bringing a lot of vehicles through there. It's a good example of how the flexibility in one piece of real estate on the coast can be used to several leverage several different operations. Not only do they bring cars in there, but they lease the space to other people who want to move different vehicles through there as well. So there's a good holistic environment in that one port space. We've engaged with many schools, Groton Marine Science, Magnet School. We support Junior Achievement wherever they are doing business across the state. They have a maritime program. We visited the Stratford Army Engine Plant, which is ongoing renovation project. A lot of dredge material being used and a lot of dredge activity in the water to remediate years of operations at that plant.
Is that the old one?
Who?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Army engine, but hasn't
Yeah.
been used in 50 years, and now somebody is doing the development. The dredge material is being used to raise the elevation of the property so that it could meet current flood protection rules and make some use of that space. We've engaged with the ILA at the State Pier just to make sure that they're in the loop on whatever comes next as we work through the remaining wind project work over the next 18 months. If you search YouTube for the Pete Mazzetti Show, you'll see an episode that we did for the Connecticut Port Authority. I think Port Authority's done that before, and that's a good community vehicle for letting everybody know what's going on. We had the EPA visit New Haven Port Authority for the work that they're doing on their Clean Ports grant. And the next day, they visited New London to see where our shore power was going. It's a good check-in by the EPA, who is very facilitative and making sure they understand the tract of the project and the reimbursement funds as we spend money. So that's working out very well for us. We have very good ties to them. We went to an event in New London to celebrate National Maritime Day. That's May 22nd, in case anybody was wondering. Let's call that Mike's birthday. Since the legislative body passed a law to form a working group last session, I met with Senator Cohen. I'm the chair of that working group, whose role is to review policy changes in the state of Connecticut and recommend incentives that can be made to increase the use of freight rail, the ports, and our sea lanes to move freight in and around the state. We've got designees from the commissioners of the Department of Transportation, DECD, and DEEP on that working group as well. We're going to be meeting every 2 weeks to determine who else will join us in that, bring in some people to provide us some information on the current use of our mechanisms now. And that way we'll be able to get down the road of putting a report together for the legislature by January 1st. We held a North Atlantic Ports Association meeting here in New London this past June. Very successful event. Got a tour of the harbor on a cross-town ferry, and a lot of people experienced New London over the course of 3 days. Visited several leaders at the towns of Norwich, Montville, and Haddam, just to name a few. Working with Electric Boat on coming up with partners that can initiate a ferry system in New London Harbor, so that they can get from the facility in New London to the facility in Groton. There's also a desire to have people be able to take the train to work, which means you take the train to New London and get on their ferry over to Electric Boat Groton. EB is also acquired a Waterford Mall, and they're using that space too. That's ramping up as well. So there's a lot of activity going around on with a need for maritime transportation in New London Harbor. Attended an New England Regional Dredge Team meeting in Massachusetts. All states got together on that. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and the process is very lengthy. And I would say that the most help is needed for any place that we run into material that's not suitable for open water discharge. And so, you know, we're looking for future opportunities to be able to streamline that and help people out in getting that done. It's especially impactful to the business community here in Connecticut. A single business just can't handle the dollars it would take to remove contaminated material from their site. And in every case, they did not deposit the material there and they did not make it contaminated. It's either historical or it came from somewhere else. And so we'll be working on a larger state effort to be able to help with that. At a legislative visit at Pier 7, I know we talked about that earlier. But we are interested in working with all of our partners to make sure that we can do something to improve and retain the here at Fort Trumbull. We learned of an organization called the Connecticut Transportation Institute. You think that might have some relevance to maritime freight movements? It does not. They're housed out of the University of Connecticut, and they do a lot of work for Connecticut Department of Transportation. But we didn't know about them and they didn't know about us, so that we changed that. That's going to be helpful going forward. We attended some chamber events. One of them was in New London. The Mayor Pastoreau gave a great update on the state of New London, specifically called attention to 32 properties in New London when he took office that had been underutilized, and they've done something with all but 12 of them. So there's been a lot of progress in New London in using buildings and structures that exist for new and different purposes. I feel the same way about commercial properties along the coast and along the rivers in Connecticut. We're trying to get a count of those now to see what's available and be able to communicate with people what else could be done in that area. There's an update to the Pilot Commission, which meets monthly. We try to keep the pilotage rates in Connecticut and Long Island Sound similar to the pilotage rates that are put in place from New York State. And so we have a committee looking at that now. The timeline is that the pilot commission will review those updated pilotage rates for the next 5 years and be in a position to present those to the Port Authority Board of Directors at the October meeting for approval. They will be the same as New York, and change in the rates is consistent with what you would expect to see for rates this year. We just have to update the procedure and get everything right now. We're working on an injury settlement for somebody who was injured at the State Pier, a Siemens Gamesa employee that slipped and had an injury. And the insurance company is completely working that out between Siemens Gamesa and the structure. We're a party to it because we own the State Pier, but we don't have any liability in this case. We visited the Port of Davisville. A lot of acreage, a lot of flexibility. Put some new piers in there. They're building a lot of warehouse space. So Davisville.
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
Ah.
Brought some people together for the Blue Economy Hub. There's an effort in the area to have people work together to further businesses that need the ocean. There's also an effort at Southern Connecticut State University to do the same. What we don't need is 10 different efforts, so we're trying to make sure everybody's working together towards a common purpose there. Coincidentally, at Davisville, part of their ports, they have a space dedicated to people who want to do work in the water and grow the blue economy. And if they have a need for port access, they've been granted. So, recently, Melissa Root and Anthony Afrie completed leadership courses at the New Haven Chamber of Commerce and the Bridgeport Chamber of Commerce. So that gave them some other insights on what's going on in those areas and connected us with more people in the state. While we were working with the Connecticut Transportation Institute, they let us know about what we heard about several other innovations in University of Connecticut space. There is an institute for underwater vessel technology, and those same people announced that they were starting a shipbuilding initiative out of University of Connecticut. So we met with that staff up there. There's a lot of capability that they have that we didn't know about, and they didn't know that a port authority was so involved in the state of Connecticut. So again, more relationships. They also run institutes for the Navy STEM program, supply chain initiative, and the AUKUS program that is a effort, military effort between United Kingdom, Australia, and the United States. Hanging up behind me, we got life vests for the staff. So if you see one of these floating in the water, pick us up, please. They're not bulletproof. It's an element of safety we wanted to have. The interns getting to see a lot and learn a lot about Connecticut's coastline, but they're also working out issues and understanding how other states handle abandoned boats. There is legislation that will be moving forward at the national level for the Maritime Action Plan that includes the establishment of up to 100 maritime prosperity zones in the country. We're going to be in a position to make recommendations on where those maritime prosperity zones should be in Connecticut. We're also looking at transportation data and maritime economic data as well. I think last week we got the opportunity to take electric boat and tour the state pier. There was a lot of drooling going on, but they may have a need for some space at the state pier to support submarine construction in the outlying years after the wind terminal is no longer using it. Our harbor development agreement partners, which are Instructure and Orsted, continue to meet every other month to determine the footprint of the pier once the Sunrise Wind Project is being completed. That's predicted to be the end of next year. And again, we stress that in the future, the port be able to handle more than a single operation, whether that's electric boat, tow electric boat, the same thing. You can't have the whole pier. We are easily able to connect rail back to it. So that's an opportunity there. And if there was another wind developer, there's a portion of the wind development that could happen at the pier while other businesses could continue on. So we're working out all those details. What's next? You'll hear more about the working group as we move forward, because I think that's got an important tie to the work that we're supposed to be doing here at the Port Authority. Dredging. There needs to be a major focus on dredging to be able to support the business community and keep our waterways open for safe passage. We do need to work on the Small Harbor Improvement Program. We'll be working with the legislators on what comes next, as that we believe there's another $4.6 million available. That may take us through the spring before the legislative session ends, but then we really need legislation on what happens next with that. And we need a vehicle to invest in the maritime economy by the state of Connecticut. A lot of investment being made by surrounding states. There's a path to do that that we'll have to work out legislatively as well, and serves as a great opportunity for us to be able to help municipalities and businesses across the state. So what's next? Any questions?
No, great report. I do want to add that you had provided an update of the Port of Davisville and Quonset Business Park. They also just announced that they are going to be creating 140 residential units to provide housing options for the workforce there. And General Dynamic Electric Boat is also located there.
Their footprint is so large that they'll be able to put housing there and not take up any water space directly, which is great synergy for having housing available to the workforce that's not this big workforce.
Citizens last year, not last year, this early this spring, the shipyard next to it had their pier condemned. It was right between Citizens and EB.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to reconstruct that whole area?
I don't know. There is, it's got They're on a former Navy base. The Seabees used to be stationed there. They've got a plan for every square foot of the place, and they're just working through it.
Right.
Some of that.
Sunesco is there building a lot of ships currently.
Sunesco's there, and will be there for a time. I know they were looking at having to move at some point, but they look pretty stable. And then there is some airport activity down there, or yeah,
There's
so.
a there's there is an airport there, but it's they lease it for private owners, jet owners.
Yeah, so there's.
But the Air Force or Navy, I sat there waiting for them to launch the Lady Kate.
Yep.
And for an hour, all I saw was military aircraft shooting approaches.
Yeah, so there's
And they
some
looked
interaction
amazing.
with the airport that they have to keep in mind when they're doing work at the port. The
Yeah,
questions?
the Air National Guard is there, and it's the only Air National Guard, to my knowledge, that has a cybersecurity division. But
That's probably.
there's over 250 companies in Quonset Business Park that employ 13,000 people.
And if you're up in that area, there's Chinese restaurant that I ate at once, and I will endorse it 1,000%.
Good.
It is absolutely fabulous for lunch.
Great.
End of the ad.
We just need the name.
End of the ad. I got no idea.
Somebody looked at Chinese restaurant close to Joe. Other questions?
Do you know where we stand on Sunrise, just to give people an idea where they are in the construction? I think it's like they're on 20 maybe.
Well, I know parts for number 20 were shipped out, and that's an 84 turbine project. So they'll have 64 turbines. They did do like six in the month of July. So that's really good progress. When you have good weather and the equipment works properly, they can install wind turbines on a good schedule. But you're not going to be able to maintain that schedule through the winter months and other issues. If you did 6 a month, then you need 10 or 11 months to finish. But that's why we calculate now to the end of next year. They're also going to take a pause here. There are five turbines remaining to be installed in the Revolution Wind project that are sitting at the State Pier, and they're going to switch over and do those five before they get back in. So that's another month to take care of Revolution.
You said they're installed. How long is it till they're operational?
Well, I don't have that information. I do know that they have plugged in at least the first one from Revolution. Nobody will tell me how many more. I didn't ask the right person. I don't know who has that information. But they have to do the startup and testing on each one and subsequently attach it to the grid. As you know, Revolution's going into the grid in Providence. Sunrise will go south of Long Island and cable its way up to Lake Ronkonkoma before it's converted back to AC power for the grid on Long Island.
Can you comment on the MOU with DEEP, where we stand with that? And then secondly, on that, which concerns, I'm sure the folks in New London, is the longevity of that pier if we do nothing, and where we stand with that.
So the state funded a grant to get evaluation done of the pier and come up with plans forward. That was done by GZA. It was completed early last year. Their estimate is if we don't enact the plan within 5 years, then their plan is really not going to be relevant anymore because the continued degradation will be such that it'll be past the point of remediation and might need something more substantial to be done on it. The mission was to remediate the pier, hasn't had any maintenance done on it really since its inception, and add shore power to be able to provide electricity to a medium-sized Navy vessel. The total of that was about $43 million. There is no current funding source at this time. We will be in a position to ask for congressionally directed spending on that in the next round, probably later this year. Or we might need to partner with the state on figuring out what could be done. But as I said earlier, we would hire somebody to engage in the resourcing of funds department if we wanted to move forward. The reason for an MOU with the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection is that property was deeded by the federal government to the state of Connecticut, and DEEP oversees it. It's held in trust for the use of the public. And we're not looking to change what the port does, the pier does now. We're just looking to make sure it stays around for 50 years. Deep, we had met with Deep staff. The Deep commissioner was going to give us an answer in a couple of weeks. And then that was a few months ago. But as we saw, the Connecticut commissioner of the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, Katie Dykes, left the role recently, and Emma Cimino is the acting commissioner until a permanent commissioner is named. We'll look forward to seeing what can be done in the interim, but we'll have to see where we go long term from here. In the meantime, several legislators in the area have reached out to tour the facility and get an understanding of what we're trying to accomplish here, and they wanted to help, so we'll see what they.
Has the Navy shown any interest?
Navy specifically has not shown a desire to latch onto it or contribute. I'm not sure there's a good vehicle for doing that either, but we'll see what happens
home when port, we get closer. But the London could be a home port for somebody.
It's really not structured for that at this time, but and I don't know what it would take to upgrade that. We did have a gentleman send in plans to upgrade Fort Trumbull and that pier to a cruise terminal. But, you know, it would be nice if a cruise line said, hey, we would like to invest in this part of the state and come by and do it. That'd be something we could talk about. But
they'll ruin Bank Street.
Ruin Bank Street? We could expand Bank. Other questions?
So we do or do not have an agreement with Deep?
We do not.
I'm sorry?
We do not.
We do not. Okay.
It's really, you know, if there were something that we could get Deep to push forward with the MOU, because that does allow us to do after congressional funding, direct funding.
Congressionally directed spending?
Yes. Or you could put in for, you know, let's say that Buckeye gets funded PIDP, then the next round of PIDP, you can get a PIDP grant to fix the pier. Letting it sit idle is not the answer.
Is DDP not DDP?
Mm-hmm.
If they're not following up because they haven't handed it off to one of their people to deal with it, or it's just one of those things that's yeah.
Right. I think there's still opportunities to be succeeded.
Very nice.
Paul, rather than an MOU with Deep, can you obtain a letter of support for a congressional directed spending project and partner with a nonprofit?
I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. And you know, the problem will be PIDP grant doesn't really support it because it doesn't have any throughput. It's not a port. And so, you know, it's going to be a series of funding activities from different sources such that when we pile them up together, we can do the work that needs to be done. And if everybody wants to go forward with that work, the reason the Port Authority is involved is because we can oversee that work where, mm-hmm. you know, Deep has a lot of other responsibilities across the state. Far exceed their capacity and budget to handle this, and it's not a forever project. So we could very successfully support getting this done. We need everybody's agreement that it be done.
Hey, folks, this is Graham Stevens with Connecticut Deep. I've sent a message to my counterpart in the parks, Mike Lambert, who's the chief over there. Just to get a current status on that MOU, it sounds like, Mike, from what you said, there was progress being made under the prior commissioner, and it may just be an issue of let's see where this stands, and if it's something that we're moving forward with, I don't see that being a problem, but I will report back to you, Mike, as soon as I hear from my counterparts in parks.
Thank you, Grant.
That'd be great. That'd be fabulous.
Well, Mike is right. There are some complexities with respect to our ownership, as that was, you know, a federal facility that was transferred through the National Park Service with many deed restrictions. But you know, I think that this has been a conversation we've had, like Mike indicated, you know, over many years that preceded the Connecticut Port Authority, and we understand that this is an asset we need to ensure remains viable. So I'll
Thanks.
be in touch soon.
And you know, the first step is signing an MOU. The second step is having that MOU reviewed by the Department of Interior and having the Department of Interior Secretary sign off on the MOU. So they do still have their reach into the deed that we have for the historic landmark that it is. But we've also mapped that part of the process out too. We don't see any impedance to getting that done.
Any other questions for Mike? So next item on the agenda is item 8, which is committee assignments. You all have a copy of that in your package that went out. Note the thing on the bottom that says if you'd like to change or if you'd like to be added to a committee, you know, please get in touch with myself, Mike, and Jill, and make sure that those changes are made. And with that, Grant, let's move that we adjourn. We have a second.
Second.
I think there's no point in taking a vote. Thanks everybody for being here. And next meeting is in October.